from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today is Jesse Tapia. We, of course, have Hamm and Sides. That's what we call this when Kyle Madsen is out.
Somebody needs to pay for that.
They do.
Let's get some turkey company or whatever pay for that this Thanksgiving.
Well, it really makes sense that Honey Baked Ham would jump on board.
That's a good point right there.
Yeah, like how James Ham can't get an endorsement with the Honey Baked people.
Yeah, there's money to be made here.
Come on, what is happening here?
I'm going to have to take a walk over to sales.
What is happening here? What's going on, everybody? Good morning. It is, Wednesday? I think it is Wednesday. It's hump
Wednesday.
Day.
Wednesday. Second best day of the week.
You think this is the second best day of the week?
Because it just gets us to Thursday, and it's like, all right, we're on the other side of it now.
Okay, so Kyle's favorite day of the week is Thursday.
I'll give him that.
And then Kyle's birthday falls on his favorite day of the week, so tomorrow Kyle has a birthday.
Big day for the guy.
Which is why he is taking some personal, just like to absorb being a year older. Jesse, have you got to the age where you start to fear birthdays?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. Life's cool, you know? It gets good.
You're in that, like, between stage where nothing matters. Like, once you get to 21, there's really nothing until you turn 30.
Yeah, like, well, I don't know. Like, I'm getting married next year. Like, things are, like as I get older, I feel like things get better.
Oh, no. That stuff gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're growing up and you're maturing.
Like, I haven't hit the injury stage yet or anything like that. Like,
oh, no, that's the worst stage.
My late 20s have been pretty solid so far.
Well, so your early 20s, you have your, like, 21st, but then you also have some of your friends that get married young. And then you have some of your friends have kids, and then you might get married a little bit later. And then once you get married, you'll start seeing that some of your friends who got married early start getting divorced. And so you'll go through that phase. But as far as birthdays, like, 21 matters. After that, I don't think anything matters until you hit 30. And then you're like, oh, no, I'm 30.
Yeah, that's fair. My birthday is December 31st, though. So, like, we'll get, like, the friends out. We'll go out that night and stuff like that. So that makes it a little bit better.
You're December 31st?
Yeah.
Oh, is that good or bad?
It was bad up until I turned 21. Since I've turned 21, it's been pretty fun.
Okay, so that is a good birthday because you're going to go out and party anyways.
Pretty much.
Okay, and then you know that my wife and I have the same birthday.
I did not know that.
We're May 15th.
How does that work out? Like, you got to take a backseat that day?
No, like, we celebrate together. Like, but we've been together forever. So, I mean, we've been married for 25. So, we've been together longer than that. And so it's good because people can't, like, forget that it's your birthday as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you'll get to a point where it's like, hey, it's cool. You got a birthday gift. I didn't get a birthday gift. Well, that doesn't happen because they're like, oh, that would be awkward if we showed up with a gift.
No, it definitely would. Others. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's kind of, we usually, like, do a little bit of a celebration over a couple of days. Like, we go out with some family and then we go with some friends. I don't know. I like having the same birthday. First of all, you don't forget. So that's big.
Yeah, that's a good thing right there.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So, well, Kyle is, I think Kyle is turning 34. I typically don't talk about my age on the air.
Like, honestly, I have no clue how old you are.
I had no clue how old Damien was, like yesterday. Yesterday's Damien's birthday. Like, I still don't know how old Damien is.
Damien's so. One of those guys that's going to be, he'll be 40 for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? It'll work.
I hope to be 40 for at least 15 years. That's the goal.
Right? That works, because honestly, like I said, I have no clue what your age is, so you could be 40 right now.
You have, see? I'm winning.
There you go.
I'm winning.
There you go, James.
I can tell. But I would say if you think I'm 40 and I've been married for 25 years, something's wrong there. All right, let's get into this. We welcome into the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. It is Wednesday. It's quiet out in the world of sports. We're
waiting. They're not really giving us much to work with today.
They're not giving us much to work with. So we're waiting for the Brandon Ayuk situation to happen. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but we have Chris Biederman coming in later in the show to hang out and talk to us, of course, from Sacramento Bee and the Candlestick Chronicles. So we're going to talk shop with Chris Biederman. That should be intriguing because there are some moves the Niners are making here and there because they've had a bevy of injuries.
Yeah, the vibes haven't necessarily been great.
No, I know that's what Kyle keeps saying, that the vibes are just way down. And, you know, like, look, it's early. I think the vibes, there's plenty of time to make the vibes, like, change. I mean, not to, like, compare this to, you know, say, the political world. But you could see how the vibes changed so quickly when, you know, you had a change, right? Like, boom.
So you're saying the Niners need to trade Brandon Ayuk?
No, I'm saying that, like, if Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk walk through that door with new contracts, that the vibes change very quickly.
Yeah, I gotcha.
There's potential for the vibes to change really quickly. We stay away from politics here as much as possible. But I did want to bring up something, Jesse. Sacramento Kings legend Royce White. Some people don't remember that Royce White was on the roster.
NBA star, I've seen.
Let's see. What year was Royce White? I want to say it's 2013, 14 is the Royce White situation. The Royce White, I call it the Royce White situation because it actually was a situation. It's 2014. So Royce White, of course, he was the number 16 overall pick and the 2012 NBA draft by the Houston Rockets. Extremely talented, high basketball IQ, power forward. We're talking 6'8", 270. My partner in crime here, Kyle, likes to call these guys, he's a hoss. Like, he's a big man. But with an incredible ability to pass, right? So what happened was this season is Isaiah Thomas got hurt, if I'm not mistaken. And the Kings ran out of point guards. So Ray McCallum, who was a rookie second round pick from the 2013 draft, he was playing between 45 and 48 minutes a night. And Michael Malone was literally begging, please, could you sign a point guard?
He'd be a perfect Tom Thibodeau guy.
Could you please bring someone in that can play point guard at all, right? And instead, they signed Royce White to two 10-day contracts. Royce White never scored a basket in the NBA, despite being the number 16 overall pick in the draft. He played three games. All of them were for the Sacramento Kings. He never played a game for the Houston Rockets, who he was drafted by. And the thing with Royce White, we're bringing this up because Royce White last night won the Republican Senate primary in Minnesota. He's a long shot to win overall, but he's going to be on the ticket in November, right? And my interactions with Royce White were very, very strange and very unique, except for, like, all of us as a group were, like, living the same thing. We were very specifically told when we were going to speak to Royce White, hey, please don't ask about the fact that he won't get on a plane or any mental health things. And we're like, okay, that's no problem. So we went into a scrum like, hey, let's talk basketball with Royce White, because that's something that they were requesting. His people were requesting everything else. We're like, hey, what's going on, Royce? And it was like, man, mental health. And he sat there and talked to us about mental health issues for about 15 minutes. So he's now 33 years old. He's been out of the league since 2014. He never played another game after he left the Kings. And he's running for Senate.
Kings legend.
Kings legend. I'm wondering how he's going to get on a plane if he gets to go to Washington.
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, I saw that tweet. I was like, how's he going to get to Washington? Greyhound maybe takes 3 days to get there, maybe, from Minnesota? Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he'll like, find the old Madden bus and get there. So that's that should be interesting. I would tell you this. Of all the players that I ever covered in Sacramento that I thought might get into politics, he was pretty low on the list. Like... You know, there's a couple that are below, but he's pretty low on the list. If you know, I fully expect Garrett Temple to potentially be in politics at some point. I expect Harrison Barnes to be in politics at some point. Like, there are people that I would expect to be in politics. Royce White is not one of those.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not too familiar with Royce White other than the guy doesn't fly.
Yeah, there's a lot more than he doesn't fly. So, yeah, interesting story. We're going to have to track that as we get through the dog days of summer here and head towards the primaries in November. We won't talk politics. We will maybe check in on Royce White and his campaign multiple times, see how it's going.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. We also this morning, Mark Andrews, the legendary tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, got into an auto accident this morning on his way to practice. It appears he's okay. He actually made it to the facility where they checked him out, which I think is interesting. He put out a statement about number one, wearing your seatbelt, number two, paying attention to while you're driving. So good to see that Mark Andrews is okay.
Yeah, good for Mark Andrews. Ravens are gonna be an interesting team this year. I mean, I feel like they low-key got like a glass ceiling on them. Like, regular season they do fine, but it's just they don't hit that mark in the playoffs ever. We'll see what they can do with this
that
year.
That glass ceiling, it's
because I believe in Lamar Jackson, by the way.
It literally wears a Patrick Mahomes jersey.
That might be it, too. That might be it.
It's just Patrick Mahomes.
Well, it's like they ran into Ryan Tannehill one year and lost to him.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think that the glass ceiling for Baltimore, though, it does look very, very much like a Patrick Mahomes statue.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's the bottom of the
Patrick Mahomes statue. It's about glass ceiling for 31 other teams.
Right now on the TV here in the studio, I actually have an old basketball game on, Jesse. I don't know if you're watching this, but...
Is it the Celtics and Lakers one?
It's the 1984 NBA Finals Celtics-Lakers. Larry Bird running around, shooting jumpers in his short shorts. He just missed, which is shocking. But Kurt Rambis is on the floor, and you just forget Kurt Rambis as a player, what he looked like.
Shout out to goggles.
No, he didn't wear goggles. He wore glasses.
Oh, yeah, like actual glasses?
Like you've seen Sandlot, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He wears, like, the big dark frame.
Oh, I got you. The squints ones?
Squints glasses, yeah.
I asked Kyle this when I was on with him last time. Sandlot is the greatest baseball movie of all time, right?
It's up there, man. I don't know if it's the best. Like,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I mean, Field of Dreams is incredible.
Field of Dreams is cool.
Okay, but it's more about other things in baseball.
Yeah.
8 Men Out is off the charts. I don't know if
you've ever seen that.
That's about the 1919 Black Sox, the White Sox that Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
I think it's John Cusack is Shoeless Joe Jackson, I believe. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, we could get into that discussion. Yeah.
Shout out Kyron. Says Sandlot's the GOAT.
Yeah. Okay, so look, we've got a lot to cover today. David Aldridge dropped his offseason moves ranking. So basically, he ranked all of the offseason moves by teams. We're going to dive into that. We've got some of the NBA schedule leaking out here and there. It's definitely been a slow sort of trickle, and leading up to tomorrow when we will have the entirety of the NBA schedule. We got a little bit of Niners news, and we of course will have Chris Biederman later in the show. You're listening to the Insiders on ESPN 1320. I'm James. He is Jesse. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back into the Insiders. It's weird starting breaks without Kyle, because Kyle usually handles this portion of the programming. It's just a little different. It takes a couple of days to adjust, and then he comes back, and then everything just kind of goes back to the way it was. During the break, we've been talking about baseball movies, and then it went into...
Now we're just hitting all the sports movies.
We are. We're hitting all the sports movies. I don't know. Did you see the what's it called? King Richard? Is that what it is?
No, I never saw that.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the one with those
Venus
Williams.
Yeah,
the dad and stuff.
Yeah, that was phenomenal, too.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. Yeah. Will Smith is just really good at everything.
Yeah, Will Smith is really... He was absolutely spectacular. We're going to keep going. People keep bringing up sports movies now. Dodgeball.
Shout out Dodgeball. That's a classic right there.
It has some incredible one-liners as well. Like, if you're a one-liner, movie reference person, Dodgeball's way up there.
They got Steve the Pirate in there, I think is his name.
Yep. I do believe that's his name. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's just phenomenal.
And the part where the casino, the little billboard, a little shiny thing just falls on patches or whatever. Like, just, it's like one of the just weirder things. It's like, oh, of course, or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
Again, if you could dodge a wrench, you could dodge a ball.
That's right. Dip, duck, dodge. No, dodge, dip, duck, and dodge, right?
We might just have to start doing one-liners from Dodgeball show.
The four Ds, yeah. Above the Rim, Love and Basketball. See?
I saw Above the Rim recently, like last year. That was the first time I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Blue Chips?
Never seen Blue Chips. I know what it's about and who's in it and stuff. I've never seen Blue Chips.
That's fun.
I feel like, I gotta go back and watch some of these movies that I've missed.
Yeah, that's all about like basically buying your way
to... That's essentially how Penny and Shaq really came together, right?
Yeah, it was Penny and Shaq and... there's a couple other big...
Because I think I saw the story, Shaq was working with Penny on that movie and stuff like that, and then he went to the Magic front office, I think, told him, draft Penny or something like that, I believe.
Oh, or trade
that's
Penny.
That's how they're introduced, I guess.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, I need to go back and watch that, because that's a good one. Talking about basketball, David Aldridge. First of all, David Aldridge writes for The Athletic. One of the true gentlemen of the NBA. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of meeting David Aldridge, but...
I haven't, but you can just tell, comes off as a good guy and all that stuff. Pretty well respected.
Yeah, he's super well respected, but also, honest and funny and kind of like self-deprecating, like very different than what you would think from like his like talking head reports that he used to do, like standing there doing like stand up and stuff. Very, very, very good dude. And, you know, he's one of the writers and national writers who I think really cares about getting it right and not just getting it right for major markets or whatever. He likes to get it right for everybody. Yeah. Like he needs to make sure that he's educated on everything that's happening and not just be flippant and disrespectful to like incredible fan bases around the league.
Yeah, we need more David Aldridges.
Yeah, we do need more David Aldridges in the world. Yeah, I don't know what show I had on earlier, but I had to shut it off. Like they just kept screaming at each other, Jesse. Like the last thing I want to do is, and I hope this doesn't like the people out there listening. The last thing I ever want to do is sit here and yell and scream. Like there are moments where we have to get like emotional. Like I can't believe this is happening. And
well, just don't fake it is the thing.
Yeah,
like that's what they do. They fake it. FS1, ESPN, First Take, Greeny Show. Literally every show on Fox Sports 1 or whatever. Like, they all, that's all the same show. Right. It's all an iteration of First Take with Skip and Stephen A. when it first blew up. That's all it is.
I don't get it. I don't understand the appeal of seeing two people yelling at each other. Like, I'm not sure. Anyway, to get to David Aldridge, he does this every year where he basically ranks the offseason moves. And he says, just because if I put your team in the bottom 10, doesn't mean that I hate your team. It doesn't mean that I love your team if I put your team in the top 10. Basically, it just means that that I'm ranking what they did this offseason. And I think it's really, really interesting fodder for conversation here on the Insiders. The Kings aren't in the top, in the bottom 20, which I think it's interesting because I want to see where they end up, right? I want to see, are they going to be... like they're somewhere in the top 10 of like positive off-season moves, like of the most impactful things that have happened.
I think they should be. I mean, after re-signing Monk and getting DeRozan here.
Okay. And then, and even the Devin Carter, even though he's going to miss a bunch of time, I think most people believe that Devin Carter was a steal at number 13.
That's how he was talked about. I mean, yeah, we'll see what he's like after his injury and all that. But as far as where they drafted him, yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be the biggest question is like, how does he recover and how does he sort of bounce back and all that stuff? So we're going to have to wait and see how much it impacts his rookie season. But if I'm going to look at the Kings offseason, you know, DeRozan, Monk, like everything else, just like all of the things that have happened, I'm going to put them probably like number 7, number 8. I'm not going to go like crazy and say I think they had a top 3 offseason. I think there are teams that had better off seasons.
Well, yeah, because I think I'd agree with you there. The top 10 at least, just because you look at them, they won 46 games last year. I think this year they're a 50-win team at least, just with the players they have and all that. And I think you got to give props to Monty McNair too, because once they missed the playoffs last year, like, oh, it's not looking good this offseason. Monty's going to be kind of like have his hands tied as far as like what he can do, and he's going to have to work around the box and all that stuff. And he did get into DeRozan here.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the other thing that we're just kind of glossing over is he also brought Mike Brown back. And
yeah, they got that done.
Mike Brown to an extension.
That was a crazy week.
Which is huge. Yeah, that was a crazy week, right? Yeah, I may or may not still be paying for some of that week. I don't even want to talk about it. Let's bust through some of these. Memphis is the least impressive offseason out of any team. He ranks them at number 30. That's pretty harsh. You know, they did draft Zach Edey. But when you look at the rest of their offseason, it really just depends. Everything that they're doing depends on what exactly happens with Ja Morant.
Yeah, their offseason is essentially like, yeah, they drafted Zach Edey. They didn't really add anyone, but it's more so you're adding Ja Morant after missing all the last year, basically. Yeah. Marcus Smart was hurt a lot of last year. And I feel like off the top of my head, I think Desmond Bane, is he hurt too?
Yeah, he was hurt as well.
He was hurt as well. So yep. They're just waiting for those guys to get healthy, and that's essentially their offseason, just getting their guys back.
Yeah, I think that
I don't hate that ranking, but I don't hate what the Grizzlies did this offseason either.
I just don't think that they moved the needle. I mean, it really does depend on how you rank Zach Edey. If you think Zach Edey at number 9 was a good pick or not, I think that that's way high for him. And
yeah, I was surprised at that one too.
I really struggle to see how he translates to the NBA, but I might be wrong. And he might be perfect, especially with the other players that they have. You know, maybe he's a pick and roll specialist with Jaw. Maybe he's like the big man that allows Jaren Jackson Jr. to drop down to 4 rebounds a game. I don't know. But I definitely see that as like, it's tough, right? That's not a great team, but they were number two in the Western Conference 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how like far Ja can take them.
Yeah, me too. Rounding out the bottom, Portland Trail Blazers are number 29. That makes a lot of sense to me. They really did not a whole lot.
Yeah, not much to say there. They're where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, they traded for Denny Avdija and gave up two first-round picks, and everyone in the league are like, why are you doing that? Like, you should be hoarding first-round picks. You're that team. Number 28 is the Denver Nuggets, which
I feel like a lot of people are starting to sour on this team a bit. Not where they're going to fall out of top six, but more so they're not just locked into like top three finals contenders, I think. Yeah. Like, they're still a contender, but just more so it's like, all right, watch out for the Nuggets this year. If it's good, like if they're going to slide down, it might be like this season.
Yeah, so they went out, they got Dario Saric, which I think most people miss. They of course, got Russell Westbrook. They got Daron Holmes, and then he injured his leg and will miss the season. What he blew out his Achilles, I believe. But they lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Reggie Jackson. They didn't really do enough to gain. Number 27 on the list is the Los Angeles Clippers. And for me, I agree with this as well. Like, they went out, they got Derrick Jones, and Chris Dunn and
they were active, but it's not really going to amount to too many wins.
Yeah, like it their offseason looks a lot like the Lakers offseason the year before, where it was like, okay, little stuff here and there, but they lost Paul George,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they gave way too much money to James Harden. So that I thought was crazy. We got the Raptors, Atlanta Hawks coming in at 26 and 25, Los Angeles Lakers at 24, which again makes perfect sense. And then rounding out the bottom 10, 21 through 30, is the Phoenix Suns. And I'm surprised that he has them that low, even with the addition of Tyus Jones. Very, very surprised to see them that low, because I thought their offseason was better than it was last year.
My biggest takeaway from this list is that there's a lot of the Kings peers right here. Didn't have a great offseason. Like the Nuggets, I think the Kings can go toe-to-toe with them. Like the Lakers, I think the Kings are better than them, as well as the Suns and the Clippers. And the fact that, like I said, the Kings peers didn't necessarily have great offseasons or whatever. Like that's what stands out to me right here.
Yeah, three teams in the Pacific Division are right here.
Yep.
I think that's really interesting. We'll get to more here in just a minute, but we're going to step aside here on the Insider. It's brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Thanks for tuning in. We've got tons more to talk about with basketball, with NBA schedules, and all that stuff coming up here. We'll see you in just a minute. Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia, filling in for the great Kyle Madsen. We're discussing, when we went to the break, we're discussing David Aldridge's piece in The Athletic, where he basically ranks all of the offseason moves or the, I guess, teams.
Just the overall off seasons that each team has had.
Yeah. The overall off seasons. That's a good way to put it. And I think what stood out to both Jesse and I in 21 through 30, sort of the worst off seasons, is number one, that there are a lot of Pacific Division teams right here. Again, Phoenix Suns coming in at number 21. We got the Los Angeles Lakers at 24. I, for one, am surprised that the Los Angeles Lakers are at 24, because I don't think that they did anything in the offseason at all that made sense, like from the coaching hire all the way down. Like, Dalton Connect is the one, like, tangible player that you could add to their list. And outside of that, there's nothing.
Like, I like LeBron and I like Anthony Davis, so maybe there'll be enough to get them into the playoffs or even the play-in, but I wouldn't be shocked if they missed the playoffs this year.
No, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't even be shocked if they weren't a top 10 team.
Yeah, I would agree. But if I'm rating like their offseason, I'm not giving them a plus for adding...
Yeah.
You don't get points for J.J. Redick. And in all honesty, Dalton Connect might, in year one, year two, he might not be as good as Torian Prince. And that's, you know, like, they lost Torian Prince, and it's like, okay, how exactly are you going to be better? And then we get up to like the Clippers at 27. Again, lots of like movement, but I would have put the Clippers offseason ahead of the Lakers offseason.
I don't hate that.
And then we have Denver, Portland, and Memphis rounding out. So a lot of Western Conference teams, a lot of teams in the Pacific Division. And then when we get to the 11 through 20 area, the first team on the list is the Golden State Warriors.
Buddy Hield.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Flamethrower.
Yeah. Kyle Anderson. They got Slo-Mo.
Yeah, shout out Slo-Mo. I mean, I don't like what the Warriors have done with Steph Curry. Like, I don't... I feel like Steph Curry, you could still win a title with him. His game is almost kind of ageless or whatever. It's always going to work. And I feel like the Warriors just maybe, I don't know, maybe they feel they can't win a title with him or whatever, but they just, I feel like they should have went for it a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, they were in a bad situation because they had the Chris Paul contract that they could, you know, send out and then have someone waive and possibly bring back a big contract. But they also, they had this idea to get underneath the luxury tax, right? And, or at least below the aprons. They did get below the luxury tax, but I think they went back over a little bit. I kind of like some of their moves, but like, is it enough? You know,
like to be a playoff team, yeah, sure. But like, they won't be contenders this year. We won't be talking about them as contenders at all this season.
No, and if you're not talking about them being contenders this season, then talking about them being contenders is over.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing it next season. Like, I like Kuminga and all that, but I don't know if he's going to develop that fast into like Steph's Robin or whatever as number two.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've kind of got to the point where they are who they are, and you're going to see the decline. And like, look, they've been like a 8-9-10 team. They got beat by the Kings in the play-in. Right, they were out, one of the first teams out in the play-in. So, Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, which I hadn't really thought of those two together. Could you have like two more like strange pairings if that's your 2-3 combo off the bench? Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson, like literally one guy who doesn't stop, like, and another guy who's in super slow mo the entire time.
It's gonna be fun to watch. I know that.
Yeah,
Buddy Hield is just moving team to team right now. It's a world tour.
It is. I do like the D'Anthony Melton signing. They got him, but it's only a 1-year, $12.8 million deal.
He's a solid player.
Yeah, he's solid. So if we get past the Golden State Warriors, again, I bring up the Warriors. So we already have seen all the other teams in the Pacific, right? The Warriors, the Lakers, the Clippers.
The Suns were in there.
The Suns. They're all in from 20 to 30 in their offseason moves. After that, it's like a mixed bag. Houston Rockets come in at 17, 18 for the Milwaukee Bucks. The Chicago Bulls are in at 16, Washington Wizards at 15, Indiana Pacers at 14, Minnesota at number 13. I thought this is an interesting one because this is a team that the Kings are going to be dealing with, right? And I don't really think that they added a lot. They added two players in the draft. And
yeah, Rob Dillingham, I think, was one of them.
And Terrence Shannon. So both of these guys, of course, Terrence Shannon had, if I'm not mistaken, had the off the court stuff that caused him to drop. They also did bring in Joe Ingles. But outside of that, there's really not a lot to look at. They also lost Monty Moore. They lost Kyle Anderson. There are some things that they did, but I don't think anything stands out that looks like they had a great offseason.
Yeah, you're counting on Kat and Anthony Edwards stepping up again this season and all that. Rudy Gobert maybe playing a little bit better.
I don't hate the Dillingham addition, but I need to see how it looks, like, because I wasn't super impressed watching him like in summer league stuff, if I'm not mistaken. And just on tape, you know, he has a little bit of like Malik Monk game, which might translate really well. And could become a really, really interesting, like, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell look with him and Naz Reid.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. A lot of their growth would come internally and all that, I feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so, too. And then we get to number 12, and we have the Pelicans.
I don't get them being so high.
Yeah?
Unless I'm missing something.
Well, I mean, they did get DeJounte Murray.
That's true, yeah. Okay, that's what I'm missing, but...
Okay.
I'm low on the Pelicans this year. I like Murray and all that, but I just don't know if the Zion and Ingram thing is going to work. You lost Valanciunas, and that was a big part of your team last year.
That's not all you lost. You lost Najee Marshall. You lost Jonas Valanciunas. You lost Larry Nance. You lost Dyson Daniels. Cody Zeller. I don't know that that's a huge loss, but at least it, you know, it's a player, right? They also lost general manager Trajan Langdon. They did retain Jose Alvarado. The DeJounte Murray and Daniel Tice moves are pretty much the biggest things that they did. And then they've got a bunch of young centers that they've brought in that haven't played in the league before.
Yeah. Daniel Tice, I love Daniel Tice. He played for the Celtics. He's a finesse type guy. He's not like he's not Valanciunas, so you can hit the three ball a bit. I mean, he could rim protect a tiny bit, but I mean, the dude gets dunked on a lot. He's not the most physical type player. So, like, I feel like a lot of their, what hurt the Kings last year is the physicality and all. I feel like New Orleans lost a lot of that.
Yeah, like, if you, again, if you're going to compare Daniel Theis to even Larry Nance, I'm not sure that you upgraded the position swapping those two.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how much I believe in Murray, Zion, and Ingram. I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. We feel like Zion's probably best with some other team at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And you talk about I mean, they still have CJ. They still have Ingram. They still have Trey Murphy. Like, they've got talent, but I'm not sure that I would have put them as a top 12, like, movers and shakers, like, uh-huh. during the offseason. Like, there's not enough here for me to, like, really, really judge and say, like, this, you did really well here or there.
It's like you said, they have talent, but just I don't know how many wins that's going to amount to this season. Like,
well, it just
probably be 45 to 48 again.
It just depends. If they play the Sacramento Kings six times again, they're going to win a lot of games.
That was tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, though, right? They played them so many times.
Uh-huh.
So the number 11 team is the Utah Jazz. They went out and signed Svi Mykhaila, I think, as one of their last moves. They drafted Cody Williams, Isaiah Collier, Kyle Filipowski. Regardless of his weird stuff, he's still a pretty decent player. They brought in Drew Eubanks. And
extended Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the biggest thing. It's the Lauri Markkanen thing, right? So I wonder, is that kind of a precursor to what we're going to see from the Kings and their write-up because of the Malik Monk retaining Malik Monk? How much does that play into where they rank? So maybe they will be slightly higher than I thought they would be, but I still think that the Kings have had a pretty decent offseason when you consider the DeMar DeRozan addition. And you can, but it's funny. Like, David Aldridge, highly respected, like, really good. He's been doing this forever. He has them in the top 10 as far as their offseason. But, like, how many people bashed the DeMar DeRozan
side? Well, it's like we kind of talked about it. It's not necessarily, like, a direct correlation to, like, the first take type shows or anything like that. But people really don't do their homework anymore. Like, there's the main teams you could pay attention to, and that's how you get your engagement and all that stuff. But, like, people won't pay attention to, like, the Kings or whatever just because... I don't know. I feel like people think it's like not worth their time or whatever. Like, David Aldridge will pay attention to everyone. Like, we know that or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just, I feel like these other writers and all that stuff, just media in general, just they don't feel like these other teams. And it's mostly with the NBA, I feel too. NBA, I feel like the teams, like, it's only certain teams that are popularized that they talk about. Like, the NFL, I don't think that's the same case, or even the MLB.
No, you're probably, well, MLB, like, if you're going to watch baseball, it's really tough to, like, turn on a Sunday baseball on a major network and see any team other than...
Red Sox, Yankees?
Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers.
Yeah, I get that.
Right. It's pretty much... And Cubs. Like, the Cubs still have a big
draw. But, I mean, as far as, like, the coverage, like, Buster only can talk to me probably about the worst team in baseball and all that.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. I also, like, I remember watching a show after the DeMar DeRozan signing, and... They gave both the Bulls and the Kings, like, losing grades. The Bulls for losing DeMar DeRozan, the Kings for gaining DeMar DeRozan. They had a split screen with him in two different colored jerseys talking about it as if one team got worse by losing him and one team got worse by getting him.
That's what I'm saying. It makes no sense at all.
It's just, like, it's stunning. It doesn't make any sense, Jesse. I don't know.
But at least David Aldridge, we know he has the Kings in the top 10, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. At least we know one guy is doing his homework out there. And, like, look, I'm not bashing. Like, there are a lot of guys who are good at their job and cover teams fairly, cover the league fairly. But this just feels like one where, you know, the Kings were an easy target for going out and getting DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, hear me out with this. Was Malik Monk the most important move of their offseason? Because I feel like if you don't sign Malik, that sets you back so far.
There was no way to recover if you lost Malik.
Right, yeah.
And to be honest, I don't know that you would have got DeRozan if you lost Malik.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Like that just would have set you back so far if you were the Kings.
Yeah, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but, like, Taps would have been playing. Like, that version of the Kings would have been, like, really, really tough to recover from. And it's not good that one player can mean so much. And now I think not to say he means less, but his impact isn't going to be as as dire. If he misses a couple of games, I don't think you're going to fall into the same, like, oh no, what are the Kings going to do now mode.
Yeah, no, DeMar DeRozan helps that, and like the just the way they have the roster now helps that. But Malik Monk is that's a culture guy. That's one of your core guys for the Kings that you need to keep around.
No,
where
totally.
Like if he's not playing or whatever, like he's still in the locker room. Like he's just important to everything that you're doing in the organization.
Well, that and the other problem that the Kings had was that if they had lost him, they had no way to replace him. Right.
Yep.
So like they could have gone out and like tried to find like a $4 million version and hope that you create another Malik Monk, like go get like a Trey Mann or Bones Highland and hope that he develops into something. But that would have cost them something. And they're a team without a ton of like cap space and money options. Right. That's why I think, you know, again, we look at the DeMar DeRozan trade and I know like people can hate it out there in the world, but you basically gave up Chris Duarte, who was on a 1 year, like $6 million deal. And you gave up Harrison Barnes, who was on a 2 year deal, one at $18 million, one at $19 million. So even DeMar DeRozan at $25, $26 million next season, you're only giving up $6 million more, $7 million more than what you were going to pay Harrison Barnes.
Well, see, I can't fathom the idea of like, the Kings, yeah, they got DeMar DeRozan, but you gave up Chris Duarte and Harrison Barnes, and I'm not even trying to like slight Barnes or whatever. Like Barnes is a good player. He'll do good things with the Spurs, but it's just like they upgraded here. Like that's not going to hold them back losing those two guys. Like Chris Duarte was barely even playing at the end of the season.
Oh, no, totally.
I just don't get like that being the reason as to why. Like they would say, oh, yeah, like that's going to be tough for the Kings. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like really keyed into on them giving up the pick swap in 2031.
Yeah, the 2031 pick. Whoever the hell that middle schooler may be.
Yeah, the pick swap, like we have no idea what that's going to look like at all.
Little
like,
Johnny's in school right now eating a grilled cheese and whoever on ESPN's like, yep, that Kings messed up there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it could come back to haunt them, especially I think it's like it's fully unprotected pick swap.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, look, if Victor Wembanyama is as good as everyone thinks he's going to be, and we're looking at, you know, 7 years into his future, so like 20, we're looking at prime Victor Wembanyama, that could be a 50-60 win team if they build it right as far as the Spurs. And, you know, sure, it could come back to haunt you. That doesn't mean that the Kings are guaranteed to be bad. Like, we have no idea what the Kings will look like at that
point. Exactly. We don't even know if Monty McNair is going to be there 7 years. We don't even know if we're going to be there 7 years from now.
That's true. Like, there, you've heard that the ocean currents are heating up and could change everything, right? Like, our entire world could dissolve.
I did not hear that, James. You tell me the world's going to end soon?
I don't know. Like, between that and the fires, Jesse, you're
bro,
right.
I haven't even seen a Dolphins playoff win. You tell me the world's going to end? Not yet.
Your whole entire
not
life?
Not yet. Yeah. Yes. I was four when they won in 2000. I don't remember that.
Oh, man.
I have no recollection of that at all.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Dan Marino slinging.
Yeah, I don't have no idea, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Mark Clayton, Mark Duper, Dan Jansen.
My first dog's name was Duper. Shout out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Tony Nathan.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I know all the old guys, all the
Jimmy
old school
Cephalo.
Players. Yeah, I've never, my dad got to experience all the wins and all that. Me, I've never seen a playoff win in my life. And you're telling me the oceans are heating up and we're cooked.
Yeah. Well, I hate to tell you that it's very possible that you're never going to see a Dolphins playoff.
I'd be so pissed off. I'd be so pissed off. Like the day the world's in, I'm just on Twitter. Like, I can't believe this is happening.
I can't believe this. I've never got to see a Dolphins victory.
Like, never mind the Celtics and the Red Sox or whatever. Like, that was all great. Like, I never got to see the Dolphins just win a playoff game.
Oh, that's amazing.
And the thing is, like, they've gone to the playoffs. Like, oh wait, they play the Ravens. Ray Lewis just beat the hell out of them. Chad Pennington, those three interceptions. Then they play the Steelers, I think, 8 years later in 2016. Matt Moore literally gets his head knocked off. Don't know how he played the rest of the game. Comes back. They just get destroyed. Lose to the Bills. Tua doesn't play that game in 2022. And then last year was the frozen one. This has been all bad. No good experiences either.
That's wild. You haven't even got to see, like, potential.
Yes, it's no good experiences. Just, oh, they're here. Oh, we're gone. All right, see you guys next year.
That's brutal, Jesse. That's brutal.
Builds character, I guess.
Maybe it builds character. Let's get into the NBA schedule. We did have, I don't know. This thing is, the schedule's leaking out. Like, it's like a leaky faucet. Like, we're seeing.
I don't like the way they do this.
Well, I mean, I can't say that I hate the way they do this because I'm part of the reason, you know, I'm part of the people that are putting out, like, I haven't put out a bunch of games at this point, but I certainly, like, yesterday we put out before the what the NBA Cup games were announced, we were able to say, hey, look, they're going to play, what is it, November 15th against the T-Wolves, right, at home. We had that. Like, and then when the Celtics, like, I know they're playing the Celtics.
It was March 24th?
Yeah, it's the 24th. That's when they're going to play the Celtics at Golden One Center. They're also going to play the Bulls on March 20th, which is DeRozan's sort of like playing the Bulls here in Sacramento, and sneak in between the Bulls and the Celtics game is the Bucks on 3/22. So, like, we're going to get more and more, like, in the next 24 hours before they release the schedule tomorrow. So, as of right now, the Kings have four NBA Cup games, and those are 11/15 versus the Timberwolves at Golden One Center, 11/22 at the Clippers, 11/29 at Portland, and then 12/3 versus the Rockets. I think the Timberwolves game is interesting because we also know that they're going to open the season against the Timberwolves on
Thursday the 24th, I believe it is.
Yeah, I think it is Thursday
the 24th. That Thursday, yeah.
Which is the day before last season's season started. So last season started on October 25th. This year it's the 24th. But I'd also point out, like, they're going to play right away. They're going to play two games against Minnesota in the first, I don't know, 20 games of the first 12 games of the season. And that could be tough. Like, that's going to be
it's one of the teams you're expecting that could come out of the West.
Yeah, totally. But outside of that, I don't love the Clippers. I think that they did not have a good offseason. I agree with David Aldridge. I don't love Portland. I think they also had a bad season, and they're like a really odd mixture of players that just don't make any sense together, right? And just like a bunch of talent, like, thrown on, like, plugged in.
Portland is 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Portland feels like a 2K team.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of guys.
Yeah, some dudes like, oh,
hey, this dude, they get fun team to play with because I can hit the three and all that, but
yeah, but I mean,
real life, it's not going to work.
We don't know what Scoot is. We don't know what Shaedon Sharpe is. Simons, they've been trying to deal. Jeremy Grant, they've been trying to deal. They've got DeAndre Ayton. They've got Denny Avija. They've got Chris Murray. They, you know, like, it's a weird
club. They've got guys.
They do. They have guys, but do they have enough to put anything together? They also had draft picks this year. I can't remember who they took. Oh, they drafted, they've got Time Lord, and then they drafted Klingon.
Oh, yeah.
So just kind of odd.
They've got guys with potential. It's a matter of, all right, just organize it now. Structure this.
Yeah, but how? That's the question that you're going to deal with Portland. Yeah. Like, how do you put this thing together? Although I will say, I really enjoy going to Portland and covering games. The stadium music is really, really loud. And to get to the stadium, you have to walk under a couple of overpasses that are a little sketch. Like it's
You've been to the Coliseum, Ham. You can handle it.
Yeah, but the Coliseum is different because you pull into a parking lot. When you're at the Moda Center, usually you stay up on the hill, and then, like, it's not a far walk from the close hotels to get down to the stadium. And it gets a little crazy. But still, I think it's a fun place to go catch a game. The fans are super engaged and really good fans, really passionate. It remind me a lot of Sacramento Kings fans because it's very similar. It's the only game in town, really. And so, like, they love their Blazers there. Like, you see a lot of Blazer stuff around town. So,
yeah.
So anyway, outside of that, we've got opening night is October 24th. Shout out to Frankie Cardistelli for having that first. Then, according to our friend Sean Cunningham, who will be in studio with us on Friday, Sean Cunningham on Friday, and then tomorrow Jake Gaden's going to drop by. So we're going to have a little bit of a mix up here and just different bodies in the room. But the Kings play the Lakers three times in 9 days in December. They've got them the 19th and the 21st and the 28th.
I mean, she's really trying to get these out the way, I guess, huh?
Like, what in the world?
I don't get that.
I don't like that because if one team has one injury,
you're cooked for that week.
Well, you're cooked for that week, but you're also, you're cooked for your division race. Like, I'll say, like, the Kings, what were they? They're 7-1 against the Lakers over the last 2 years. They're 4-0 last season. Sabonis is 10-0 against Anthony Davis. They realistically didn't go out and do anything during the offseason that was, you know, noticeable at all. They will get some players back who were hurt last year, but none of those are like your standard like needle movers at all. And so I'm okay playing them, but again, what if, you know, you have something like a De'Aaron Fox rolls his ankle and he's going to miss 2 weeks, and then you play the Lakers three times, or a division foe and a conference rival, well, all that stuff.
I'm not expecting them to like kind of be around each other in the standings. I think things are going to be a lot better, but that's more so where you're going to have to win the season series there, because seeding could matter. Like I said, I don't think it will. I think the Lakers are going to be a lot worse than the Kings this season, but you're going to have to get those games either way.
Yeah, but we also saw, like, when it comes down to it, you have to be concerned about things like, you know, conference record, division record, all that stuff, when it really, really cranks down and you're getting deep into the season. So I'm intrigued to see how that all works out. Again, we're hearing as of right now, like there's only 7 nationally televised games, and that was all nationally televised games. But I'm going to caution people and say, I think that number is going to go up. The Kings had 22 national television games on the opening of the schedule last year. And then I think during the season, they lost one and added 2. So they're either at 23 or 24 by the end of the year. And I would expect the Kings to be more like 14, 15, but that may be incorrect.
I mean, yeah, 7 feels way too low, especially like thinking of what kind of team they could be this season. Like, they're going to be entertaining either way. Like, whether they get to 50 wins or not is one thing, but like, they'll be a good team. So,
yeah,
I don't think you want to keep them off TV.
Nope. I'm intrigued to see how it all plays out. And again, I think adding DeRozan to that team is going to be, if nothing else, it's going to be a whole lot of offense. You just hope that it's like a fluid offense and they're figuring it out quickly. But I kind of have faith in what they're doing, because they were able to like throw all these ingredients together 2 years ago and came up with the best offensive rated team in NBA history, when like almost the entire team was brand new outside of Fox and Harrison Barnes and a little bit of Davion Mitchell.
Yeah, we've seen DeMar on the Raptors, the Spurs, and the Bulls. I don't think he's ever been a fit problem like anywhere he's been. Like, he's pretty much seamless anywhere he goes.
Yeah, you hope so. I do know, you know, he is a high usage player. He is like on occasion can be a ball stopper. And that's kind of not Kings basketball. But at the same time, I think there are moments where it does need to be Kings basketball, where you need something different. You know, I always bring this up with Bobby Jackson. Like, when the Kings were at their height in the early 2000s, it was the most beautiful basketball. Like, the Princeton-style offense, cuts, movement, all this. Everybody could pass, all this stuff. But you needed one dude who played outside the system, and that was Bobby Jackson. And I think Malik Monk can be that guy, but in all honesty, Malik Monk is a really, really refined version of Bobby Jackson. Like, I think as far as statistics, they're very similar as far as players go. But I don't come away from a Malik Monk game very often going, I can't believe you took that shot. Like, whether it went in or not, like, he does usually, you know, try to score within the flow of the offense.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I mean, we've seen times too, like it'll probably happen. It will happen this season where the three's not falling. It's like, all right, we need someone to get us a bucket, and that's where DeRozan's going to come in.
Yeah. No, I think so. It's going to be an interesting season. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to dive into some baseball, some football stuff. Maybe we're going to talk a little bit more NBA schedule and sort of how we break down an NBA schedule and what we're looking for when the schedule gets released tomorrow. That should be a interesting topic of discussion. I am James. He is Jesse. We are the Insiders on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll see you in a minute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.